Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello, I'm Minnie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
Welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. Yes.
Hooray.
Now, this episode is sponsored, Helen. Imagine that.
Yes. I know. Thank you, sponsor. Who is it, Ellie?
Well, yeah, some people get sponsored to run marathons or climb Kilimanjaro. We just get sponsored to talk shit on the internet. But
that's right, to sit down and talk crap.
Yes.
But it's good crap, Ellie, yes. Because we're talking about video games.
Yes, you almost sounded sincere when you said that. That was very good. This podcast is sponsored by Must Play May. I expect you're going to ask me what that is, Helen.
What is that, Ellie?
Good, very, very smooth, slick. It's an initiative designed to celebrate the positive aspects of video games and how gaming can bring family and friends closer together.
I love family and closeness.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do.
All right.
To help us do all this chat, of course, we've got a video games expert, and I'm not talking about me for once, Helen.
Who could know more about games than you, Ellie?
It is, of course. She's just laughing. She's laughing too hard to say her own name. She's already regretting all the decisions she made.
Hi, I'm Keza McDonald.
It's Keza McDonald off of The Guardian.
It's me.
Yes.
I'm just trying to be cool about how excited I am
Aww.
To be here, to be honest.
Are you really, though?
No, genuinely am.
Oh, that's
big
nice.
Big fan. Yes.
Oh, we're a big fan of you, Keza.
You're
like a video game superstar. And, listener, annoyingly, she's about 25.
Yes. I'm 30, you know.
She's 30 and she's the editor of the video game section of The Guardian. Yes, show off.
Well, this is because I ran away from home at 16 to become a video games journalist, which
you
can imagine my parents were delighted.
Was the circus closed?
Yeah. It was my third option.
Oh, yeah, I bet they were over the moon.
Yeah, they were so pleased.
Wow. Especially because I know you'll be modest, but let's be honest, you're a bit of a child genius. You can speak, is it four languages you can speak?
Yeah, but that's the thing, is you speak to anyone from Europe and that's fine, yeah, no worries, four languages.
Aren't
everyone
we in
can
Europe
do it.
Anymore?
But because we're here, it's super impressive as a fact, so yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah,
that
and
was good.
Bitch, one of them's Japanese. For fuck's sake.
That's not even French.
It's not even the same typewriter. Whatever.
Wow.
Alphabet, that's the word, isn't
that's
it?
That's it. Hi, Japan.
Yes.
So glad you're listening. So you speak lots of languages. At 16, you left home to follow your dreams.
Yes.
You were a determined young woman at that age.
I think headstrong would probably be the most polite way
of
phrasing that. I was a horrible teenager, actually.
Excellent.
So, yeah, so now you're all grown up, sort of. Tell us about your family.
I am a mother of soon to be two, and I have a stepson as well. He's a teen. So I have a toddler and a teen, which is an awesome combination.
And they're both lads.
Both lads, yes. And I got another one on the way pretty soon.
Another lad. We don't know if
we
the
don't
new
know.
One's a lad.
No,
or...
I did the whole old fashioned not finding out thing last time.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do it again this time.
So I have known you since you were about 16.
Yeah.
When your glasses were held together with sticky tape.
I knew you were going to mention that. I didn't have any money, Ellie.
Sweet. You didn't have any money. It was very sweet.
I think you actually offered at one point to pay for my new glasses.
That does sound like the sort of thing I would do. I'm a great humanitarian.
It was, yes. Very kind of you, but the humiliation was a bit
too. Was she your Obi-Wan Kenobi? Luke.
And then we obviously became friends, and then I knew you sort of in your 20s, and we used to go to Japan and stuff together on work trips, which was great.
Raucous times.
I remember, Keza, very clearly you saying that you did not want children.
Yeah, I didn't.
What changed?
I think the hormones? I don't know. I think it's one of those things where when you're in your early 20s, I think many women now think, nah, I don't really want kids. And then as time goes by, you start thinking about things a little differently. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was, I found out, actually, this is just my contrarian nature, but I got told I probably couldn't have kids when I was about 26. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of forced the issue, because that then it became, oh, this isn't like some random thing that might happen in the future. Maybe it's something mm-hmm. like, if I want kids, I have to decide now, because it might take years of effort. So that kind of forced the issue. But then typically I got pregnant like 4 months after being told that I probably couldn't. Wow. So that, yeah.
In your face, science.
So I was 27 when I got pregnant, which is fairly young for, I mean, I live in very extremely middle class Brighton.
Yeah.
And I was like by far the youngest person at 27. So, you know, I wasn't like 18.
Yeah.
But no. I was still the youngest person in my kind of immediate mum group.
Yeah,
by a
yeah.
good kind of 5 years.
Yeah, I had my first baby in Cambridge and I was 30, and there were first time mums who were 43.
My mum was 43.
Was she?
Yeah, she was. And my dad was 58 when wow. I was born.
Did they do a lot of partying before you were ahead of ride?
I believe the tales do bear that out. Yes, they did yeah. quite a lot. There were helicopters involved, apparently. So,
and yeah, your partner, Kristen, he's a bit older than you.
Yeah,
he?
he's in his mid 40s.
Right.
So there's a significant age gap, but he obviously had a son with a previous partner. So when he and I met, I was 20 and he was 35, and he was exceptionally patient as I kind of did my running around the world doing whatever the hell I wanted phase. But then obviously at kind of 21, 22, I sort of got involved with his son, mm-hmm. my stepson, and it's quite young actually to sort of have that on your plate. He was very wise in that he kept it, he let me take things at my own pace. And he didn't kind of just kind of force me into that role any quicker than I was ready for, which was actually, now in retrospect, having had kids, incredibly patient and understanding. But yeah, so I've sort of, yeah, I've been parenting, I would say, properly for a good 5 years before I had my own kids.
Mm. But how was that? Because then, so your stepson was quite young, obviously, when you met him, but you were still very young, so...
Yeah.
How do you sort of manage that relationship, then?
The funny thing is that I'm an exact half-step between them. I'm 17 years older than my stepson and 15 years younger than my partner. Mm. So I'm, like, halfway in between. But it gives you this kind of strange... I think a lot of step-parents feel this, in that you are a parental authority figure, but you're just one step removed from actual mum and dad.
Yeah.
Depending. Like, my stepson doesn't live with us all the time, so obviously it's probably, you know, a bit easier to stay slightly removed. But it means that now he's a teen, he will talk to me in a way he won't talk to his parents.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
Oh, did he slag them off?
Oh, maybe dad. Oh.
Stepmom, you know how my dad's such a dick.
Yeah, okay.
It's useful, actually. No left for everyone. No, it's. I think it's, yeah, I have, I hope I have a good relationship with my stepson. But that's kind of years of effort. The thing is with when you're not, you know, when you're the step-parent, it's all effort. Like, there's no natural bonding. Like, that
yeah.
does not occur whatsoever. So every kind of thing that you get out of parenting is you start to understand the work that goes into it a lot more. And then, you know, because when you have a baby or a toddler, it's just, like, automatic, isn't it? Like, you're
biologically programmed.
Yeah, so, yeah. like, you
and
have
they look
to look
a little
after,
bit
yeah.
like you, which yeah. always helps. Yes.
Yeah. yeah, so you have that kind of automatic, like, you are their mum, so they need you immediately. Whereas if you, yeah. you know, you meet a child who's come into your life later on, that they've already got a mum, they don't need another one.
Mm.
You know, or they've already got a dad, they don't need another one.
Unless the new spare mum has access to the world's best video games. I mean, that must have helped, surely.
The hilarious thing about that, so I've worked in games my whole adult life and slightly more. So you'd think that would be really cool.
Yeah, right? You're obviously. The cool video games stepmom.
Unfortunately, that's not how it works. Turns out if a parental figure is into something, it's automatically uncool, no matter what it is.
Oh my god.
So we now have this, there is a sweet spot. There's like a sweet spot when my stepson was about between 5 and maybe 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Where he wanted to play games with us and he would like listen to us about what we thought he might like. And then after that, does not give a shit. Just wants yeah. to play with his friends play. And obviously everything that we like is now automatically untouchable.
Yeah.
It's like your parents' music. So now we've got this weird situation where like your parents' video games are just not acceptable to play. Like,
yeah.
It's too embarrassing to even consider being seen near them. So I think this is quite a new problem.
Oh man.
But yeah, I think my kind of generation of parents, like our generation of parents, I guess, is the first one where, you know, a parent might have grown up themselves with games.
Yeah.
And then they have their own kids and games is something that then becomes part of family life as well.
Yeah.
Whereas before, like certainly my parents had no clue about games whatsoever.
Mm. You broke them in, both of you.
Yes, that's partly why my parents were so baffled by my career choices as a teenager. It
yes.
seemed like to them like a made-up career. It was like I was still saying I wanted to be a spaceman.
I mean, let's be honest. I speak as someone who's done it for 20 years. It's a fucking stupid job.
It's a really stupid job, mate. It's like you've made a job out of Monopoly, essentially. You like you and your games, and then you've gone off and talked to other people who like playing Monopoly and so on and so forth.
The thing is now that there's actually loads of careers in games. Like, it's not stupid. Like, there was no... My careers advisor actually laughed in my face when I said I wanted to work in video games when I was at school.
Have you had him killed? Or do you just go over there with all your money and just say...
Oh yeah, that sweet journalism money. That
all the pennies.
That's it. The Guardian's just flinging 50 notes at its writers as they walk through the door every day.
Oh, yeah, it's like Versace's palace in there.
I just anonymously send my clippings with like threatening notes from magazines. Yeah. But now, obviously, the difficult thing is that I can't. So my stepson wants to be a pro gamer, right? Like a professional gamer. Now, I can't be hypocritical and say that's a stupid idea. Mm. That's a dumb career, because I know loads of people who have made careers out of similar things in games. But then also, I'm aware that the chances of being a pro gamer is like being a pro footballer.
Mm. Right? Okay, so it's a bit like saying, I want to be a pop star, I'm going to go on X Factor.
Precisely.
I'm the new Cheryl, it's whatever like, she's called
that
now.
Might happen, darling, and I support your dreams, but also maybe backup plans. Maybe some plan Bs, maybe some degrees or something, just anything. Anything else?
Yeah.
Literacy.
Let's start with literacy. Let's start there.
So did you go to uni then?
I did. I actually did half of a PhD as well. But
Could she just be
P and one leg of a H?
Yeah.
Nice thoughts.
I now nurse this unrealistic fantasy that once my kids are older, I'll go back to the PhD.
Wow.
Definitely will do that and not just sleep for 10 years once my children are in university.
Well, you know, if you ever do achieve that, do come back in the podcast, although it will be in 25 years' time, probably won't exist anymore, and the planet will, of course, have burnt to a cinder. Anyway.
I think there'll be probably, you know, limited scope for fish finger jokes when your kids are... What, 30? Yeah,
well, I don't know. We're going to milk it as long as we can.
Ah, exactly right.
Yeah.
As is your right.
But going back to the sort of family thing, so you had this experience of parenting a stepson for a few years before you had your first baby. Did that prepare you, or was it still a shock?
No. In summary, not at all. I would say the one big advantage that it did give me was knowing that my partner was a good father. Mm. Which you can always hope for, but like not many people get to really know definitely that their partner is going to be a great dad before you actually have a baby. Mm. But it didn't prepare me whatsoever for parenthood. Mm. And like, although the tough thing about being a step parent is you always have to offer support, but you're not allowed to have an opinion.
Ah.
So if there's a child rearing quandary or like a behaviour issue or something going on with your stepkids,
is it just like a light pat on the shoulder going, yes.
You just have to sit there with your partner like,
My husband probably knows what that's like. Pretty sure I've made similar suggestions to his outlook.
Like if you have your own ideas for whatever reason about like how a problem should be handled or how parenting, you have no say. But right. You have to be 100% behind whatever's been decided by your partner and, you know, the other parent.
Oh.
So there's, I would say like, the thing to, maybe other people make this work, but my partner very ill-advisedly thought it would be a nice idea to have like a happy family's brunch quite early in our relationship.
Right.
So it was like me and him and then his ex-partner and her boyfriend at the time and the kid. And it was the worst morning of my life.
Oh no!
It was a disaster. Oh, the kid was playing everyone off. He was four. The kid was playing everyone off against everyone else as they do at that age. And like there was like, and my partner was sniping at his ex. And the new boyfriend and me were just sat there like, I just want to die. Like, it was so awkward.
But was the food good?
Do you know what? I don't remember, and that's very unlike me.
Oh. But yeah, I'm so sorry. Those things are great in theory, but not so great, obviously, in practice.
No, so I think you have to navigate that quite carefully, because you can't, like, if you disagree with either with your partner or with the other parent of the child about something that's happening, you've got to keep your mouth shut. Like, it's actually not your business.
What if the parents are disagreeing about something, and you actually agree with, like, not your partner, but you agree, in your case, the mum, if you think them, is that...
That is, like, unstable plutonium. Really, really bad sit. You just have to be like,
No, I cannot see it from her perspective at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then obviously
you've been reasonable about this.
I don't relate this to anything that's ever happened between us in any way. But yeah, I think probably the almost the nice thing about like when you have you know, it's my toddler, it's my own child. So, like, if I have opinions about the parenting that's going on, I get to express those opinions, finally. I get to kind of have a say in what I think should be. Like, you get to kind of gently suggest stuff as a step-parent, but you just don't want to be that person. Also, you don't have, it's, you know, you don't have kids. Fundamentally, you don't have kids, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know how it is they're feeling or what is it's going on. You might have experience and you might kind of have something to offer, but you don't get to make the decisions. I found that really hard. But I got used to it, very used to it now.
So I love that basically, in a nutshell, your advice to anyone like step-parenting and maybe struggling with it at the moment is keep your fucking mouth shut. just don't fucking say anything.
Support your partner. Yeah. Know when your opinions are needed.
Yeah. Which is never.
It's never. It's pretty much never, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Sounds like you nailed it, kids.
Absolutely nailing it, yeah.
I think it is nice to get a kind of individual relationship with your stepkid as well. Because a lot of the time, especially if they're little, it's you're basically the person who's around when they're with their dad or their mum. And you're like, you can't help but see yourself as an intrusion then when they're very little. Yeah. But then over time, you develop like an independent relationship with them. And then it's not just about you facilitating the relationship between your partner and their kid, which is very much what it feels like in the first few years. But then you have then an independent relationship with the kid as well, and that's when it gets a lot easier, I found. Mm. So that took a little while for me, partly because I was so young and I wasn't around all the time.
All right, good. I feel like, have we done step parenting chat?
I think so. And thank you for sharing that, because we don't often have step parents on the podcast. And I know there's so many listeners who've written in and said, "Can you have a voice for step parenting?"
Yeah.
I mean, 50% of people get divorced. So they're out there. It's not just us sad old married people.
Yeah, too lazy and cheek to get a fucking divorce.
That's right.
I grew up in a step family as well. My dad died when I was a baby, and my mum remarried when I was 5. And my stepdad had a similar situation. His wife had died when his son was little, so it was quite sweet. They met because me and my now brother were in the same nursery class together.
Aww.
So they met and they were both bereaved parents, and they got close, and then, you know, they fell in love and got married, so we kind of made a family together.
Yeah.
But, you know, despite the fact that there were no other parents on the scene, which is a big source of conflict in most step-parent situations, despite that, there was just this immense dividing line. Whenever there was a family argument, it was always me and my mum versus my stepdad and my stepbrother. Didn't matter what it was. I remember vividly there was a Eurovision Song Contest year.
Controversial.
Always a hotbed for arguments.
Yes, absolutely.
But the argument, we were about 9, and I think, we didn't agree on who the winner should be. Always an issue. But B, my brother kind of claimed that I'd stolen his chocolate. And this became like a huge family argument, to the extent that my mum and I stormed out of the house. I ended up wandering the streets of Edinburgh for about an hour and a half on Eurovision night, just having a chat. Like,
people thought you were street performers.
Yeah.
Come to our show.
So you grew up in it as well, so you know then, yeah.
So, you know, like, I know my dad is my dad. He's raised me, right, since I was 5, so he's my dad. But equally, like, I'm aware of the dynamics.
Yeah.
Like, if you have experienced that from both sides, and like you say, it's so common now. When my stepson was little, I used to take him to the park, and the other parents would chat to me, and they'd be so confused because they would very clearly think I was the nanny.
Yeah.
Or the childminder or whatever. And the dynamic of that is quite hard to navigate. You know, you have to sort of figure out where you sit, and you can't really join in with the parents.
Mm.
But I found, like, with my having grown up in a step family as well, like, you know how to navigate it. Like, you know, you all love each other in the end, and it's okay.
Hmm. Yeah, just don't nick each other's chocolate. Maybe don't watch Eurovision together. That's the secret. Sibling.
Yeah, I would say happy. It's given me a lifelong inability to enjoy Eurovision, which is a crying shame.
Oh my god, really? Oh, god, that's terrible.
I know, it's awful. Everyone loves Eurovision. I just can't enjoy it. It's so sad. I feel like such a bloody killjoy.
We must break the curse.
We need to bring it back, because it's, you know, Eurovision is imminent as well.
Yes.
All right. Will we win this year?
No.
That's not the point. Will we win the World Cup? Of course not.
I'm Scottish, so we're definitely never winning the World Cup.
All we'll ever have is those two world wars. Never mind. Anyway.
And Bucks Fizz.
And Bucks Fizz.
We'll have war and Bucks Fizz.
Oh my god. I'd almost live under a Nazi occupation if it meant we'd still have Bucks Fizz. I could almost.
There play. We are.
Alrighty.
Right.
Then.
Well, that was brilliant family chat. Thank you very much, Keza, for sharing all of that.
Yes.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Now, should we have some games chat?
Because I love games chat, Ellie.
I believe I've mentioned this already, Helen, but it is Must Play May. Now, yes, so look, in all seriousness, we're being sponsored. Also, it's something that I sort of believe in as well, and I get asked about a lot. I mean, believing makes it sound like, you know, I think I'm Martin Luther King. That's not really what we're talking about. I'm not talking about a philosophy. But, and my thing is, video games are not inherently bad. They're not bad for you. Equally, they're not, you know, going to make you a genius. They're not
Jesus.
No.
They're not going to save you in any way.
Like, let's be honest, the hand-eye coordination thing, that's bollocks, isn't it?
Pretty much.
That's pretty much
I would
bollocks.
Say, like, I have the kind of rare perspective of somebody who both loves and plays video games and has made a career out of them, but also someone who is constantly shouting at my teenager to get the fuck off the stupid PlayStation and come have his dinner.
Yeah.
Usually
yeah.
You're one or the other of those things.
So I think no one would say, look, you should. It's kids playing video games all day, every day is obviously not a great idea, right? But neither is kids eating ice cream all day or playing, I don't know, fucking tennis. I mean, unless you are actually Andy Murray, which is always possible.
Or, you know, sitting in front of, you know, CBeebies or Sky for literally the whole day.
Yeah.
You do a few hours, especially if you're really tired or hungover. You let them have a few hours, but you probably That's wouldn't right. want your kid sitting in front of TV all day either.
Yeah.
But we all grew up with TV, right? So we kind of understand that. But I think the thing that's hard to understand about games for some parents is that they're just so much more fun for so much less expenditure.
Yeah.
For kids. Like, they're genuinely just really, really fun. And they're more kind of instant gratification than TV can be. Also, talking to your kids as well, I talk a lot with my teen about how dopamine works and how you get this, like, pleasure chemical in your brain when you play a game that makes you want to play it more. And that's that's a chemical thing that's happening in your body.
Mm.
And just even understanding that, once they're old enough, obviously, can help sort of self-moderate on
Which
games.
Is the same thing that happens to us as adults with things like Instagram and Facebook,
totally.
Right? That's the thing. Mm. So when we get a like or whatever, it's like that. It's like the rat pressing the thing to get the pellet. We
exactly.
get the dopamine. So
it's
really, we're fucking hypocrites, is what I'm saying.
Well, you know, I find, because I love games, so I'm looking for, with my teen, it's always been a part of our family life. Like, we've all played games together before. And also, it's nice to play games on a Sunday if you want to play your own thing.
Mm.
Your kid can play their thing, and you can actually have, like, a nice, calm Sunday afternoon. With a toddler, it's much more difficult, because they're too little to play with you.
I've got a life hack, though. So my sons are 7 and 4 now. So Charlie and I can play together. So, but I've got 3 controllers. So I give me and Charlie one, and we play the game. And then Joe, who's 4, we just give him the other controller, which is not charged.
Not connected to anything.
Not connected to
Brilliant.
Anything.
Awesome.
And he sits there like, oh, yes, I'm making the man kick the football. Sure you are. Sure you are, Sonny.
You scored brilliant. The goal. Well, I have 2 children who are 7 and 10, and we have an Xbox. And we have recently got into things like the Lego games, which are kind of like, you know, creative and all that stuff. And I thought, well, they like Lego, so they can play that.
And they're like slapstick comedy as well, right?
Yeah,
games.
Yeah, like the Incredibles
funny.
One, because they like watch the film. But I actually found that they play quite well together, and they actually help each other, which they wouldn't actually do in real life, which is nice. But also, they can beat each other up, and not get hurt in real life, yes. which is very nice. But it's all in the name of strategy and games and things like that. But yeah, I haven't really played with them, and that's something that I think you guys are good at, because I can't do that very well without, you know, them just going A B B triangle, whatever it is. Yeah,
I reached that horrible threshold where my kid got much better than me at video games recently.
Oh no! Yeah,
I think Keith Short wrote about that recently in the Guardian, going, "Oh,
that's." I found that with so FIFA 19. My son is football nuts. And I don't like football games, and I'm absolutely fucking terrible at it. But so he can go on there and he can just absolutely smash it and obviously feel better about himself, which is good, because in real life he's not the world's best footballer. So I feel like it gives him...
It's a confidence boost, Ellie. It
gives him a little boost.
He can play his Lionel Messi feel like King Dick.
I think something I have, you know, advised people to do is, like, try playing whatever your kid is into with them. And just, you don't have to like it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember there was a thing on, I think it might have been CNET or something, or CNBC, but there was a mother who tried playing Minecraft with her 6-year-old son, who was obsessed with it. And even though she's like, there are a million things I'd rather be doing right now than playing this game that I don't really like with my son, but she still got an insight into what he was getting out of it. Yeah. And that was in itself quite valuable, and it helped her feel a bit less anxious about what he was doing.
And also, if you can start from the beginning, that's good as well. So we sat down and started playing Spider-Man recently, which is also because we've obviously got, everyone's got a basic concept of Spider-Man, what Spider-Man is. But me and Charlie had to sit down together with the controller and work out, okay, well, what button makes him go yeah, and how do you make him swim between the buildings? And so
that must be cool, though.
You're learning something together, and one of you might end up being shitter at it than the other one, but you've had the experience of learning that together.
Yeah, I have such really cherished memories of when my stepson was maybe 5 or 6, and I was like, right, there's this new thing called Minecraft. He got really into it with me, and I didn't know the game that well either. So we were discovering it together. We kind of figured out that we were on an island, and I figured out we needed to build a boat and all this stuff over the course of a few weekends. And I remember the weekend we finally built that boat, he just turned to me with this extreme look of excitement. He's like, oh, I can't wait to see what's at the other end of the sea. And I thought, this is great. I'm having a really nice, wholesome time. Lasted about 2 years before we got into shooters. But, you know, those are very cherished memories, and I hope that, because games were so... Like, they really enlivened my imagination when I was a kid. And I didn't really have anyone to share that with. I had my brother.
Yeah.
But my parents weren't interested. Fair enough. So I'm hoping that if my little son turns out to like games as well, we'll be able to share all these really cool things that I love when I was a kid. And then also he'll bring me into new games that is, you know, new for his generation. In the same way as I now share David Bowie songs with him.
Wow, yeah.
Which he loves.
Yeah, I mean, David Bowie is the same as Lego DC supervillains. It's
equal cultural impact and value.
Because your dad, Ellie's dad, followers on the Instagram will be aware of his work. Oh, and someone on Instagram thought we were when I was sisters and couldn't understand why I had an Australian accent and you were... I just thought it was some
but
kind
your
of...
your sister and your dad didn't, right?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, it just happens to genetic, you know?
I know.
It's a throwback gene.
And the fact that he's called Ellie's dad. But anyway... Anyway, lovely work, follower. But yeah, your dad often, what I really like, because I spend so much time with Ellie and her dad, is that he goes, oh, I've got this game, Elle, I've got this game and I've got to go. And you have this lovely kind of connection about it. And, oh, should I get this? But he plays on it, what was it, a PC? Is that right?
He's got PS4 now. Yes. Because he got sick of having to buy you've got to buy a new computer every 8 years.
Yes, like a car
or a fucking hairdryer or a kettle or just any machine made in the last 50 years. Yes, Dad, shit breaks.
Did you play games with your dad growing up?
I had like an Amstrad CPC 464 because I'm very cool in my bedroom, and I was just sort of up in my bedroom. So we did a little bit, and we played a little bit on his PC. But now, even now, we don't really play together. What we really do is he plays a game on his PS4 and gets stuck.
Yeah.
And then rings me up, and I have to, you know, go around there in exchange for him, you know, putting some shelves up or something, or driving us to Norwich.
Yeah.
And I will go around there and get him past the hard bit.
Oh my god. That's going to be my kids.
Can I ask a numpty parent question? One of the things the hot topic at school is about what games are appropriate for kids, or, you know, you know, there are those games out there that are a bit older for kids that some younger kids are playing.
Yeah.
How do we navigate that? Because I think that's something I'm sure the listeners are going to encounter.
Oh, it's so hard, isn't it? Mm. Like, it's so difficult when all your kids' friends or whoever at school is playing X or watching X. And you're like, I don't think this is right for you.
Yeah.
And I can't, obviously you don't judge other people's parenting, but you know your own kid,
I mean, you
right?
do a bit.
maybe a smidge?
Not out loud, guys.
But it's super difficult because obviously as someone who's very familiar with games, I know, so the age ratings are a useful kind of vague guide, but like with films, sometimes some, like for instance, any game that includes human on human violence, mm-hmm. so any game that includes, for instance, Spider-Man beating up a bad guy, automatically a 12.
Okay,
that is dumb.
And I've played that game, I'm not saying you should let four-year-olds play it, but the violence in that game is very cartoony. And
it's exactly what you'd see in a Spider-Man cartoon.
Yeah.
But a Spider-Man cartoon, nobody would slap a 12 on that.
Right.
You know, so sometimes it's difficult because obviously games are interactive and, you know, that is different. So the ratings are useful as a kind of, in the same way as they are for films. Mm. They're a useful starting point, but really it's about figuring out what about the game is doing that. So Grand Theft Auto, for instance, no child should play Grand Theft Auto under any circumstances.
Yeah.
It's just, it's got
loads. I'm not sure some adults should be playing it, to be honest. It's pretty fucked up.
It is messed up. It's a really, so the thing about that game is not about the violence, right? Lots of games have violence in, and, you know, that's not necessarily a problem in the same way as it's not a problem in an action movie. But the thing about Grand Theft Auto is it's a very nihilistic, satirical game about the modern America. And the prominence of violence and, you know, one-upmanship in modern America, right? And that's not something you want your 13-year-old absorbing.
No, thank you very much. No.
You know, or your 10-year-old, you know. I mean, I've known, you know, and I think this is just, I met a parent at my stepson's primary school who thought that the age ratings were how difficult it was.
Wow.
And, you know, she was like, oh, no, he's really good at them. Like, he can do the 18 ones. And I'm like, oh no. And, you know, and then you have that moment when you're like, I want to try and educate you here, but without being a prick.
how does my face convey this?
Yeah, so that's really hard. But yeah, so I find the website Common Sense Media is actually really useful. And then you get to make a decision for yourself. There's like a UK one called Ask About Games as well.
Yeah, askaboutgames.com. Yeah. And that's a really good website because that, I think, it explains things like the age ratings, but also, you know, parental controls and things like that.
What are parental
controls?
She asks. Basically, you put a padlock on the Sauvignon Blanc and then you can't drink the whole bottle in a night.
That's where I'm going wrong, lads.
They can be a real argument stopper because most of the cons, they're not perfect, right? The parental controls, you can't let them do the job for you a lot of the time, or at least I find that that's impossible.
But
they let you set limits on A, what games they're allowed to play, and B, how long they're allowed to play them for. So if you say you can have an hour, it will turn off after an hour. You don't have to do it. You don't have to lag.
Mind blown!
Right, it's actually a sanity saver in a big way.
But if you want to, you can do that. So if you've got a very young child, you can set your PS4 or whatever so that it will not play a game that is rated 12 or above. It won't download them, so won't play them.
If you're outside, say, in the garden drinking rosé with your friend, and it goes, excellent, I will come in here and download something naughty, they can't do it.
So yeah, parental controls are overall very useful. They're a very useful thing.
Yeah.
One thing that's really important to understand about games for older kids is that they're social spaces. Like, they go play a game to hang out with their friends. You know, I think especially with teens, their access to, like, physical spaces is reduced. Like, teens don't go hang out randomly in the park or at the mall. So, like, trying to understand, like, your kid might not, they might be spending a lot of time on the PlayStation, but that time might actually be them hanging out with their mates.
Yeah.
They're not sitting there by themselves in this kind of, like, scary, isolated.
And they haven't left the house and they're not,
It is socialising. They still do need to have a shower, though, as I'm having to emphasise. Hygiene rules become super important with teens all of a sudden.
Yeah. Wash!
For God's sake, wash!
What about the old YouTube? Because I'm about to sound like about 400, right?
What about the old YouTube?
Because, like, even as someone who's always been into games since I was a kid and has made a job out of games, I cannot get my head around how many hours kids want to spend watching another child play a game. Like, when you could just play the game.
It's so weird.
What's going on in the young people's minds, Keza?
It is the children who are wrong. I find it difficult to navigate as well, because that wasn't a thing when I was growing up either. Right, obviously, YouTube started, like, I was an adult by the time YouTube became a thing. So when my stepson was little and he wanted to watch YouTube loads, and I'm personally, as a parent, much more I wouldn't say, I don't want to say concerned because I don't want to sound hand wavy, but I'm much more conscious of the effects of like social media and YouTube than I am on games. Like ultimately games, like a TV program, someone's made it, someone's approved it, someone's paid a lot of money for it to be made, right? So there's filters there. Yeah. On YouTube and on social media, there's none of that. So you get just absolute garbage. Like real
garbage. What exactly are you saying here?
On Instagram, the people just churn out
on social media. Pause. We filter. We've got quality control, bitch.
Hours wasted, yes. Anyway.
98% of the stuff on YouTube Kids is not inappropriate or harmful, but it is inane. You know, it's basically generated by some, you know, farm-style factory that makes weird videos of Elsa just twirling repeatedly in a 10-hour loop of freaking old McDonald's. And you're
I tell you what, give me a Valium and a bottle of Merlot. I could watch that for days.
There she goes. Yeah.
Well, I think we've nailed the old video games chat.
Thank you very much, games experts Ellie and Keza.
You're welcome. Why, thank you. Yes. You're welcome, games idiot Helen.
That's right. I have been educated by you both. Yes. Excellent. And no man was part of this conversation. It was only women talking about games.
Yes, we've woman-splained gaming to you, so you're very welcome. Now, we always round off with a scummy mummy confession. Have you guys got one?
I had a pretty good poo in the bath situation.
How was that for you, Kim?
It was a classic. I was at my parents' house, and that's the worst when it happens at someone else's house, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, your own house, you know what's up. But at my parents' house, and also my parents are in their 70s, they don't need to be dealing with that. So
they've got literally their own shit to deal with.
And each other's probably at this point. I was in the bathroom, my partner was out, my parents were in the living room, I was like, okay, how do I deal with this situation by myself without the usual, like, it's happened? So I had to, whilst holding my wriggling wet son in my arms, like, go out of the bathroom and go to the cabinet that had all the, like, special silver in it for, like, Christmas and stuff. They have, like,
a gravy boat?
Yeah, and I got my mum's special silver fish slice out. And I just like cut it into segments and lifted it gently segment by segment into the toilet and then like just gave it a rinse.
Oh my
and
God.
Thought, am I going to mention it? I'm not going to mention it. I'm just not going to mention it. So I gave it a little bleach with everything and just put it right back in there.
Oh, wow.
I hope my mum doesn't listen to this podcast.
No, she won't. She's
well, in fact, she's here tonight.
Why does the fish lash smell so bad? Mm.
Good for you. Helen, have you got one for us this week?
Well, I recently, as in 2 days ago, went to Endgame. The Endgame. Oh, God.
The Endgame. Avengers My End.
Which is 3 hours long.
Game of Ends, exactly. 3 hours long. Oh my God.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, we went along. We thought we were very prepared. We went and had burgers beforehand, loaded them all up. But we did load up our children with a lot of liquids and then kind of forgot that they had a lot of liquids. And we went with some friends and we sort of put the kids on one side of the aisle and us on the other, so we were just like having our rosés. And then at the end, when the lights came up, one of the children had just weed from basically top to bottom in their light grey tracksuit bottoms. And they just didn't want to leave. The film is very good and I understand the reason not to, but we did soil one of the seats in the Peck and Plex, and I'm very sorry, Peck and Plex.
I wonder how many cinemas that's occurred in the past. I bet it's a lot.
I mean, you clearly haven't been to the Peck and Plex. That will not be the first time that has happened, even in that seat.
I know somebody who went to Avengers Endgame and put their 7-year-old in a nappy. Like, they dug out a nappy, they're like, look, you're going to wear this nappy. That's not all. He also wore a nappy.
That is the end game.
Oh my God. Especially for the purpose.
Oh,
wow. Adult nappies to get through some heroes film.
Do you know what, lads? Just wait till it's on Netflix, guys. Seriously, if we're at that level, just wait. It's like 3 months or something. Do you know what I mean? You can pause it every 18 minutes.
Exactly.
I think,
as is obvious from this conversation, or indeed meeting me for 5 minutes, I'm a massive nerd.
Yeah.
And yet, I just, 3 hours of superheroes is too much for me, man.
Apparently now online, if you Google best time to go to the toilet during Endgame, there is now websites devoted to it. And it's only been out 4 minutes, but people have...
Search engine optimization at its best.
Or, as I say, wait 3 fucking months! It's just not that big of a fucking deal!
Yeah, on Blu-ray. Yeah.
Jesus, like, honestly.
I know, the world is literally on fire, but people are worried about when to go to the toilet during a three-hour film.
I did watch an hour, I managed an hour and a half of zombies versus dragons versus sword men.
Oh, Game of Ends.
Yeah. I managed an hour and a half of that earlier today without having to pee, which I'm really quite pleased with. It's most I've achieved in weeks, to be honest.
Well done.
Managing an hour and a half of continuous TV.
That's very good.
And I think it's very boring, personally, but there we are.
Oh, controversial, Gibson!
Zombie dragons fucking grow up. That's what I say. Grow
up. Oh, no.
Up.
No, what you should watch instead...
Video games journalist.
Yes.
What you should watch instead is a thing called Black Sails, apparently.
Black Sails is excellent, because there's no dragons, there's no fucking elves, there's no zombies. Pirates, mate. Who are actual historical figures. Pirates... fucking and drinking, swearing, it's got fucking swords, it's got gay pirates, it's got...
Anyway, nerds. Anyway.
Let's stop this.
Time to round this up.
Yeah. Once again, a game of pirates out now. 4 hours long.
We're happy now.
No, we have to say thank you to our sponsor, for fuck's sake. Thank you very much, the ERA. That's the ERA. And the Must Play May initiative. It will be happening throughout May, obviously.
I think it's a great idea. So go on, pick up your controller, press a couple of buttons, and have some family bonding time with your kids.
Oh, yeah. Why not? And go to askaboutgames.com for, if you want to ask about games, I suppose.
I mean,
that's what it's for.
It's a very good website name. Thank you very much, Keza McDonald.
Most welcome.
Yes.
I'm still so excited.
Where can people follow you and read your nerd words?
You can find me on Twitter at Keza McDonald.
And that's M-A-C.
M-A-C, McDonald's, yes. Yeah. And 1-Z. Like just Google it.
Like
it's
the farm
fine.
Man, not like the burgers.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so tired.
Well done, Illy. And pretty much all the games stuff on the Guardian culture section comes from me as well.
So
please do check out the Guardian's games coverage. It's quite good.
Yeah. It's an excellent read.
Now, just one final question. What have you done with Keith Stewart's body?
I'm not at liberty to divulge.
Fair enough. As always, thank you so much for listening. Follow us at Scummy Mummies on the social media. We are tickets for our Edinburgh show and now on sale, Helen Thorne.
That is right. We are performing in Edinburgh from the 1st to the 25th of August. And do come along and see us. We're on at 10 to 8 at night in the assembly rooms. And yes, and we're also performing all around the country. We've got a very exciting autumn tour to announce very soon.
Yeah, we're going Cardiff and Leamington Spa, I think, in a couple of weeks. Then
that's
we've got
right.
Cornwall,
Exeter, Newbury, Cambridge, all the hits.
Go see them live, people, if you haven't. They're really good.
Okay, until next time.
Bye!
Oh,
and
we're coming
to Brighton, but the tickets are nearly sold out, so get yourself organised, Brighton.
Yes.
Stop eating hummus and get onto the internet.
Yes, exactly. Right. Stop appropriating gay culture. Cut that out.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.